Here's your legal rights.
This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about a serious problem of our California courts, that is, funding is being cut and has been cut for several years at this point. My guests are Patrick Kelly, president of the State Bar of California, Robert Foyles, presiding judge of the Superior Court of San Mateo County, Judge Mark Forkum, a former presiding judge of the Superior Court, San Mateo County, and Stephen Wagstaff, district attorney of San Mateo County. He's also my boss, so I have to call him Your Honor. or what would you prefer?
Chuck, it's whatever you feel comfortable with that you think will keep your job.
Oh, I don't want to, yeah. All right, funding for your legal rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, which has 11 fields of law, which are specialties. Additional funding is provided by the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Mr. Kelly, you're down in L.A., and I'm wondering, would you mind if I call you Pat?
Not at all. Please do so.
This is good. All right, since you are the State Bar President and you are trying to get things going to try to help the courts, get us started. What are your concerns? What are you hoping will happen? What is it that you hope that the State Bar will be able to accomplish?
Well, the State Bar is very concerned with not only protecting the public, but also making sure, as a part of that, that the public has access to the courts. The decrease in court funding over the last several years has been so severe that we believe that that access to the court is being threatened to our citizens who deserve it and need it. And so for that reason, as a member of the Open Courts Coalition, I've been advocating throughout the state with legislators, with people in the governor's office, with court personnel, the need to gain full funding for the courts so that we can restore the services that our public has so very much come to expect and demand, and I believe it's their right to demand it. And so it's the crisis in court funding that I believe is the most serious issue that we face now, both as lawyers, but also as judges and as citizens of the state of California.
I just want to give a couple of little statistics that have been brought to my attention. For example, in 2011, the San Francisco Superior Court closed 10 courtrooms, as I understand, and laid off over 100 employees. Pardon me, 11 courtrooms and laid off over 100 employees. In Los Angeles, it is currently reported that 10 courthouses will be closed. And this month, San Mateo County court officials announced that 20 to 25 employees and 4 court commissioners will be laid off. And most of the courtroom operations in South San Francisco and San Mateo will be shut down. And this is just an example of what's going on throughout the state. Presiding Judge Foyles, what do you have to tell us?
Well, thanks for having me, Chuck.
Of course.
Really appreciate it. I was PJ in our county presiding judge in 2007, 2008. And between now and then, it's been a drastic cut. After the recession starting in 2008, from then till now, we've lost over 120 of our employees. That's 31% of our workforce. We've spent down all reserves to the point we have just a small amount left. And we now have a workforce that has been reduced to a level that they can't adequately serve the public and keep up with the existing caseload. We've developed significant backlogs in some of the clerk's offices, and as we speak right now, I can say there are 30,000 case documents waiting to be filed in civil, probate, and family court that haven't made it to a court file yet. The backlog...
How would that compare to prior to 2008?
In 2007, 2008, we were current.
Really?
In fact... If you call now, you'll be placed on hold and go through a phone bank. If you're in traffic or jury, you may wait 45 minutes. In 2007, our policy was to answer the phone within 3 rings and talk to a live person.
Yeah.
That's how different it is.
I know. I went to the clerk's office on the fourth floor recently to get a file, and I just thought, you know, I'd be like one of the regular people, although I'm a deputy DA in San Mateo County. So I got in line, and there was only one window open. And one clerk talking to one person who had some lengthy discussion. And fortunately, because my office has a key in down the hall, a key to the clerk's office, I got the key and went in there and was helped. But it is a real problem. Judge Forkham, what comments do you have?
Well, good evening, Chuck, and thank you for having me on the show again. The Consumer Attorneys of California have estimated that 46 courthouses have been closed, 164 courtrooms closed, and 2,000 employees laid off as a result of these severe budget cuts. The PJ down in Los Angeles, David Wesley, who's an outstanding judge, said when they had to close their 10 courthouses, "We are witnessing the dismantling of the Los Angeles justice system." And one of the sad things we're starting to see all around the state, it's happening in our county and other counties, is the closure of remote courthouse locations. Fresno's closed every courthouse but their downtown courthouse, so they closed courthouses in Clovis and Firebaugh. San Bernardino's closed courthouses in Barstow, Needles, and Big Bear, requiring people to drive up to 2 hours one way to get to the court. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing an effect on people's lives in a very sad way. Our employees losing their jobs, court reporters losing their jobs, and people not being able to get access to their local courts. So it's a significant problem. I have a neighbor who got a traffic ticket, went to South San Francisco, where she lives, thinking that she would, in fact, be able to have her traffic ticket dealt with there. She didn't get the word that the traffic court was closed. She had to drive all the way to Redwood City, waited for 5 hours to get a simple traffic ticket resolved. So that's the kind of impact spread across the state that's very dramatic.
Yeah. Steve, what do you have? What thoughts do you have at this point?
I share the views of the other three. And Chuck, thanks for inviting me tonight, because speaking on behalf of the District Attorney's Office, and I am a director and officer in the California District Attorneys Association, and this is a common topic for us to discuss what's happening to our courts, because it affects so many different ways. It's going to delay criminal cases. Now, criminal cases, because of statutory requirements, get a certain priority. But it doesn't mean that they're also not being affected. They are. And it's a core principle of our government that justice delayed is justice denied. And I'm very concerned about that. The impact is on, example, as Judge Forkham just said, if you previously, if you were out in the Barstow courthouse and suddenly you need to drive 2 to 3 hours to get to the courthouse now, that means the impact on public safety, police officers that need to suddenly take that drive and are off of the streets, citizens trying to get witnesses to come that far. Those are just immediate impacts. And that's why the California District Attorneys Association has uniformly backed the efforts of the courts to get better funding and the state bar's efforts. Indeed, we have testified at legislative hearings because this is bad for the state of California. This is bad for public safety. It's just bad on all levels for community involvement in our courts.
Pat, you mentioned the Open Courts Coalition. Would you tell us a little bit about that? What is it?
That is a group of attorneys who are senior litigation lawyers from around the state, including some district attorneys and lawyers who are active in governmental-related matters, to try and give a face to the crisis that we're facing. The group deals with public awareness of the crisis, but even more is trying to bring that awareness to legislators and to the executive branch so that there's an understanding of the consequences of the defunding actions that are taking place and a better appreciation of the catastrophic effect upon that. And a lot of that effect is upon those who can least afford it, those who do not have alternatives to dealing with our court system. You know, one of the gentlemen talked about certain services in domestic relations being lost. One of the services that's going to be the first to go, if it's not gone already, is self-help centers. Mm-hmm. And in some counties, a significant number of domestic relations types of matters, I'm talking about divorces, adoptions, those sorts of things, are dealt with through self-help centers. As those are pulled out of the system, it's going to make the problem worse because it's going to dump even more cases into the courtrooms.
Are you saying possibly from what you understand that the family law facilitators' offices are going to be either reduced or eliminated in some counties throughout the state?
That is correct.
Really?
Also, the ADR programs that many counties have, trying to bring litigants and civil litigation together to settle cases.
Alternative dispute resolution.
ADR, correct.
Yeah.
Rather, those will now be dumped in the court system. For example, in Los Angeles, there, Dave Wesley, who is a wonderful judge, a wonderful presiding judge, just announced that they're going to have to discontinue their ADR program, which means even more cases will now be placed into the civil system that's already busting at the seams because of the 30% reduction in court funding that's occurred over the last 4 years. We are truly in a crisis.
Yeah, Pat makes some great points there because...
Judge Foyles.
Thank you. Regarding alternative dispute resolution, our county, San Mateo, was on the forefront in a lot of areas of ADR. We had a very strong ADR division, and since 2008, we have cut the ADR division by 60%. We have mechanized a lot of our ways to get cases out to mediation, so lawyers and propers and litigants can meet and reach resolutions, but... The fact of the matter is it's a lot less than it was, and that just means more cases coming to trial when we can't afford to have more trials.
You know, it seems to me with the dilemma that we are faced with where we're losing employees, courtrooms are being closed, it would seem to me that there should have been a big approach to try to expand alternative dispute resolution, and I'm very surprised to hear what you have said, Judge Foyles, and what you have said, Pat, in terms of what's going on throughout the state.
Well, you know, it's heartbreaking. 20 years ago, I'll give you a simple example. 20 years ago, a group of us put together a ADR program for the Los Angeles Superior Court. It had leaders from the main litigation bars, all who came together and helped get started a truly marvelous program that was taken over by the court system, and they've done a magnificent job. I don't have a precise percentage for you, but as we all know, on the civil side, 95% of cases settle, so a significant number of those were being settled in that program. Now, in a period of 1 year, that whole program is being dismantled, and all the good that it did will be lost to the public.
What do you see that the state bar as an entity can do to make a difference here, Pat?
Well, the first thing is that the state bar, in trying to seek access for justice for all of the citizens, can do things like I'm doing tonight for your listeners and making sure that the public is fully aware of what is happening and the consequences to them as it happens. Now, it's important to remember that the state bar is a regulatory agency. We are the regulatory agency, a state agency, that oversees the licensing, admissions, and discipline of the 238,000 lawyers in California. For that reason, my principal role in advocating for the court system is as a member of the executive committee of the Open Courts Coalition, and that's where I can go forward as a individual to try and press for more court funding in the way I described, meeting with legislators, meeting with representatives of the executive branch, meeting with the court system to try and bring about ways that we can get more funding for to help alleviate this disastrous situation.
Mark Forkham, Judge Forkham, please.
Well, there are some aspects of this that don't get a lot of public attention that people need to think about.
But we as the public, what can we do about this?
Well,
frankly, we hear what the problem is, but most people would think, well, what in the world can I do? I'm just a little person. And here we have all these people in Sacramento in the legislature. We've got the governor, et cetera. So what can I do as an average person?
Contacting one of your legislative delegation would be a positive thing for sure, to let them know that we need this funding to make sure that we provide adequate services to all of the public. One of the areas that is least known about all of this is the reduction to court reporters. In Los Angeles, in civil cases now, as I understand it, the attorneys have to bring their own court reporters.
That's
There's
correct.
some discussion about going to recording mechanisms as we lose reporters, and that doesn't protect people's rights. A court reporter's record has worked for hundreds of years to protect mm-hmm. people's rights, and if that system is eliminated and we have some sound-activated system that's not accurate, that would take a lot of time for the attorneys and the judge to try to settle a record around, you have a lot of problems in all areas of the law, criminal, civil.
But tell us if you would,
probate.
All of you, please, tell us if you would, in that the economy has been dreadful in the last, pardon me, since 2008, we've had all of these homes go underwater, foreclosures, et cetera, the state's budget has been dreadful, although I think Governor Brown now has said that there is a surplus, believe it or not, I think. Who's the enemy here?
Well,
is it the economy that went bad, or who can we motivate to get going? I mean, is there money stashed away? We know that the state park system, I think it was, had put money in a trust account somewhere and finally found a bunch of millions of dollars. Judge Foyles, please.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because the sense is when you open the newspaper that things are getting better. I knew it took me a lot longer to drive up here from Redwood City than the last time I drove up to San Francisco. But in the sense in Sacramento, I think, is there is more money than there has mm-hmm, been. Mm-hmm. We were in a terrible recession over the last 4 years. And we, like every other agency or department or branch of government, had to sort of use our reserves to cover those expenditures. And we've done that. Now, on January 10th, the governor offered up his first budget. And to our amazement, it means that I will have to lay off five of the seven commissioners that we have working for our court. One was already appointed to a judge, so there's really four positions. Mm-hmm. But the current budget is, we're so underfunded by, we operate right now at $40.6 million. That's just our county. And we're getting $36.1 million according to this new budget. Mm. So we have a $4.5 million deficit, and we only have $1.2 million of non-restricted reserves. So we have to lay off about $3 million worth of people. And that's a terrible thing to have to put into numbers. But 80% of our costs are our employment, and the current budget seems to be too drastic for the courts.
I'd like to jump in.
Pat, hold on, if you would, just a moment, if you don't mind. What I want to do, I want to give the local phone number, Pat, and then we'll get right back to you. But for those of you who have a question, comment, or whatever, please join us, 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're talking about the problem of funding cuts for our California courts. Our guests are Patrick Kelly, president of the State Bar of California, Robert Foyles, presiding judge of the Superior Court of San Mateo County, Judge Mark Forkum, a former presiding judge of the Superior Court of San Mateo County, currently, of course, a judge, and Stephen Wagstaff, district attorney of San Mateo County. And, Pat, you wanted to jump in. Please do.
All right. Well, I don't think it's really a question of who is the enemy. The enemy, well, may be circumstance, but it is a question of a failure to understand a couple of things in some parts of our state government. The first is that the judicial system is a co-equal branch of government, together with the executive branch and the legislative branch. It's not some simple public agency and shouldn't be treated as one. The second is a lack of understanding of how integral the justice system is to the lives of the daily people of the state. I mean, daily lives of the people of the state. And I believe that the legislature and the executive branch are not acting with ill will towards anyone, but I believe that they are misguided in terms of the emphasis that they are placing upon protecting people's rights. You know, the justice system of our state costs less than 3% of our budget, but yet it has to serve 100% of the people 24 hours a day. And I believe that that simple concept has been forgotten by some of those who make the decisions with regard to the budget and the allocation to the state courts.
You know, Chuck, if I could just
Judge Falkham, jump in here, please.
For just 1 second. Judge Foyles and I have talked about this. The latest budget cut came from the governor proposing taking courthouse construction money out and reallocating it. If that courthouse construction money was put back into trial court operations, that would do a great deal to alleviate the problems that we're seeing, the staffing problems, the impact on commissioners.
Is the governor giving any indication that he's willing to do that?
I think what we need to see happen, just I'm speaking personally now, is to see the Judicial Council, the governor, and the legislature work in a collaborative way to try to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Our branch can tighten its budget up and reallocate its priorities away from building new courthouses to save the ones that we have. The governor, hopefully, and the legislature would support that kind of thing to keep our operations and our services available to the public. That should be the first priority.
Pat, are you in contact with the governor on this at all?
No, I am not, although I've had some contact with various staff people that the governor has.
Do you think that that would be fruitful if the state bar tried to, you know, make some significant contact with the governor to try to let's get going on this and really have a collaborate on this and see what we can do to solve this problem?
Well, I think that the Open Courts Coalition is, in fact, trying to bring about that kind of a positive exchange of ideas. Thus far, the legislature, the governor's office, and the Judicial Council are all attempting to work through the problem, but there needs to be more coordination, more collaboration in their efforts. And I'm not blaming anyone for that happening. It's just the way sometimes government operates. I think, though, that at its core is a misunderstanding as to the importance of the justice system to the everyday activities of the people of our state.
Steve, I know you wanted to say something.
I want to sort of double down on what Judge Forkham said, because it's on the point. And the answer is, this is a decision that in January the governor's budget came out. Every year there's a May revise of that budget. So we now have, in the area of 3 months, for the public to get educated on this and to talk, just as Pat said, talk to their legislators. Let's get out there, and hopefully when those revisions come out in 3 months, this recognition will be made by the governor's office and our legislature that we need to properly fund our courts so that we can have justice for everybody in all respects, civil, criminal, and all other avenues. If we don't do that, we don't want people to say, hey, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's too late. It's better to do it now. And that's what we're doing tonight. And I certainly hope people will talk to their legislators and say, hey, as you reassess where the money goes, because we all voted for Proposition 30, many of us voted for Proposition 30 so that we could bring back government. And many branches of areas of government were brought back, education and many others.
Mm-hmm.
The courts weren't. And the courts need to be. And that's what I think is the message that needs to get to Sacramento in the coming months.
Let me take a call from someone. Karen's been patient. Karen, welcome to your legal rights.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to speak to a very, very critical issue, because this is not going on only in California. It's going on all over the country. And the reason that we've had such a financial problem is not just because of the banksters and the zombie banks and the credit default swaps and the liar's loans and all of this stuff, which gambled with pensions and got, you know, corrupt AAA ratings from the rating agencies, and all this trickle-down economic has affected not only this country but the whole world and every city and county and state across this nation. And right now, because federal matching funds coming into the state to help pay for these programs, libraries, schools, courts, police, whatever, has basically dried up. We've been told it's because there's no more money. But yet, we give Israel $10 million a day, and I'm Jewish. We are spending $100 million a day on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Last fall, President Obama went to Burma, Myanmar, and promised them $400 billion. So there's actually lots of money in the federal government. And if you, from the State Board of Equalization, from the lawyers, and the public would get out, and I call the governor's office every single day of the week and tell them, hey, let's get an extraction tax from Chevron. We are the only state out of 50 states that does not require an extraction tax from the companies that are taking all the resources out of this state.
Karen, we've got to move on. Thank you very much for your comments. We're just about nearly over. Finished with a half-hour version of the program. Thank you very much for calling. For those of you who are able to listen to us live in the Bay Area or on the Internet at www.kaow.org, we will continue for a full additional half-hour. But I want to see if anyone has, in the remaining minute before we end the first half-hour, the statewide version of the program, anyone have any comment to what Karen has said? Let me start with you, if you don't mind, Pat.
Well, I think Karen was going on a rather broad-ranging discussion with regard to how money is allocated on a worldwide basis. I start it more simply. I believe that all of your listeners tonight should sit down and determine which legislator they know or which legislators represent them and jot them off a letter telling them that you believe that the justice system of our state is critical and that they need to appreciate that as they're going through the budgetary exercise.
I think you've got some votes in this studio for that also. Let me just mention, since this particular segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, if you want any one of the pamphlets related to the 11 specialties of the Board of Legal Specialization, you can either call the statewide number, 415-538-2100, or you can go to the website, www.californiaspecialist.org. That's all lowercase, no spaces, californiaspecialist.org. And they'll send you a free pamphlet. And also by doing that, the same thing, you can find out who your certified specialist in any one of the 11 specialties is in your area. So what we're going to do now is we're going to conclude at least the statewide version of the program. And for those of you who would like to ask a question, make a comment, we will take you in just a couple of minutes. All right. It is 728 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're talking about a very serious problem affecting our courts throughout the state, the funding cuts of our California courts. My guests are Patrick Kelly, president of the State Bar of California, Robert Foyle, presiding judge of the Superior Court of San Mateo County, Judge Mark Forkum, former presiding judge of the Superior Court, San Mateo County, and Stephen Wagstaff, district attorney of San Mateo County. For those of you who would like to call in, and a number of you do want to talk with my guests, it's 1-415-841-4134. Let me also mention to you that for those of you who are wondering, when do you have the next Call a Lawyer night? It will be in 2 weeks, on February 27th, and you might want to jot down the number, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, when you can talk with any one of three or four certified specialists or other attorneys off the air. No holds barred, no obligation on your part whatsoever. It's a great service they perform. Before we take our next call, let me just mention this. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KOW listeners like you. If you are in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's qualified and experienced in the area to help you with a half-hour consultation. Depending on the county, the half-hour could be a low of $25 or maybe a high of $35. It's a great service that is available. All right, let's take another call. We have Ann, who's also been very patient. Ann, welcome to the program.
Hi. One of the speakers, or maybe two of the speakers, mentioned that there's a lack of understanding, a misunderstanding. And this relates to the earlier caller who spoke about broader issues and how other things are funded, and that's a lack of education. So it behooves the Bar Association to educate one by one the legislators. Obviously, you can't educate all of the voters because, you know, the voters probably don't have time, but especially the people that are on the committee that are responsible for the legislation that deals with the courts. I'm sure you must know this, but that's crucial. So we can't say that they have a lack of understanding or misunderstanding. There's a job to educate them. So I'm sure you have probably some lobbyists or some advocates who are charged with that, but obviously we need to put a pin in them. Look, the next thing I want to talk about really quickly.
Please, Anne,
somebody
yes.
mentioned the court reporters losing their jobs, and that is sad. However, we do have voice recognition technology, so the courts are going to perhaps suggest to the legislators some ways that money can be saved by using some of the modern technology. And that's just what we have to deal with in our lives today. Just like the bridge at Marin going between San Francisco, I'm sad that those people lost those particular jobs, but now it's electronic.
Well, we're going to move on, Ann. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your comments. Let me give you something that was brought into the station, brought into the studio here, and get your reaction to this. You still with us down there, Pat?
Absolutely.
This is good. All right. I know you have to leave in a few minutes for another engagement, but I want to make sure that this gets across. And this is rather lengthy, but I think I'll get to the point. To take the devil's advocate, I'm reading this, by the way, to take the devil's advocate position, the plight of the court system may not get a lot of public sympathy. The Tea Party supporters would probably be in favor of less government and less funding government for government services. Students have been hit with astronomical increases in tuition and will be saddled with huge debts for the rest of their lives. The poor are seeing huge cuts in basic services, medical, mental health, education, and transportation. Given the enormity of funding cuts, the problems faced by the court system may seem rather diminished by comparison. What comments do you have about this? Pat, go ahead.
I would be happy to jump in, but I think the two judges that are on this panel could probably describe that better than I could.
Well, let me see if which judge wants to talk. Judge Forkum.
You know, on a personal level, I think we're all empathetic to the cuts that have affected all of our citizens in California, including the tuition costs and the amount of time now it takes for a student to get through the University of California, the state university system. So that's why, from a pragmatic point of view, I've been advocating here that we do something pragmatic in terms of meeting with our branch leaders, the legislature, somebody from the governor's office, if not the governor, to look at restoring the $200 million that was swept from the construction courthouse funds and then put them back.
Do you mean it was embezzled, Your Honor?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, all right. I'm just wondering.
No, I understand. No, I respect what the
I'm
governor...
I'm being facetious, but I mean, that's
no,
what
I respect
it sounds
the
like.
Governor's,
you know?
He's in a tough spot.
I understand.
He needs money to keep everything going. But to ameliorate what the person that wrote that note is saying is if the money is restored from the courthouse construction funds, and we defer building new courthouses until we can stabilize trial court operations, we don't have to potentially lay off as many people. Mm-hmm. We can provide public services that are necessary and essential, and we're not taking the money from other sources of state funds. We're keeping it within the court family.
So it's basically
reallocating money that would otherwise go to the courts to do something different than when it was first intended for.
Judge Foyles.
And when we're talking about 1.6% of the entire state budget. That's all that the trial courts get, 1.6%. And I think Mr. Wagstaff started the program out with the quote, justice delayed is justice denied. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the rights of witnesses, victims, people accused of crimes, people who want relief in the civil litigation, people who want to set up their visitation with their children in the family law litigation, probate. The list goes on. And you know, we founded this country on three branches of government. This branch, at least the trial courts, get 1.6% of every dollar spent by state government. And all we're asking for is just enough to basically stay where we are. In other words, let's not have additional cuts to the trial courts this fiscal year.
Pat, let me ask you this. Do you believe that the State Bar of California and the Open Courts Coalition could try to communicate with the governor to try to put some pressure on him with respect to the money that Judge Forkum was talking about for construction and bring it back? It was taken from the court's budget for additional construction. What was it, $200 million, Judge Forkum? Do you feel that the State Bar and the Open Courts Coalition may be able to approach the governor on this and try to put some pressure on him, or what is your thought on this?
Well, to start with, neither of our two entities exist to put pressure on anyone. What we do is...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
we exist to try and bring people together in the collaborative effort that one of the other speakers mentioned, to try and reach a solution together to the problems that we face, which starts with making sure that the other two branches of government understand the importance of what's at stake here. There is one thing I wanted to mention on the courthouse construction issue, and that is that those funds were taken, and some were put into the general fund. The issue, though, is that that money just isn't sitting there in a pool waiting to be repatriated to the courthouse construction fund. It has to come from somewhere. So no matter how you slice it, we're talking about allocating dollars. And so the Open Coalition, Courts Coalition, certainly is attempting now, as we speak, to engage the legislature and the executive branch in a collaborative effort to improve the funding situation of the courts. And if part of that is to repatriate to the funds, the construction funds that were taken for other purposes, then so much the better. But it's not a matter of really applying pressure, because one thing I've learned, applying pressure in that fashion on the other two branches of government really isn't an effective way to do it.
What I think I misspoke when I said putting pressure, Pat. What I really was trying to get at is, do you think the State Bar and the Open Courts Coalition can approach the governor and try to have a conversation about this? That's really what I had in mind. It sounds to me, from what you have said so far, but that has not been attempted either by the State Bar or the Open Courts Coalition, and I'm just wondering if you think it is a possibility to reach out to the governor to start a conversation.
Correct one thing. It would be the Open Courts Coalition, not the State Bar, that would have that conversation, because the Open Courts Coalition exists to advocate on behalf of the justice system, whereas the State Bar is a regulatory agency. However, having said that, the first steps towards opening the door to that dialogue have already taken place. And the Open Courts Coalition has been in a leadership role in trying to make that happen in meetings that we've had. It's premature to go into the details of that, but let me say that we have found representatives of the executive branch and representatives of the legislative branch cooperative and very willing to sit down and talk about trying to join together to solve these problems jointly. Obviously, a necessary party to those discussions is the Judicial Council that oversees the administration of the court system in the state of California.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments on that? No. Okay. Let's take another call. We've got Roberta. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello. I'm glad to know what I need to do first thing tomorrow morning.
Good for you.
But what the person who wrote extensively missing, and it may be all of our faults, is that these are human beings in all these cases that the court is seeing. And one area I wanted to point out was in juvenile justice. Because so many programs funded by state, by county, have been eliminated, the justice winds up with so much fewer and sometimes no options besides the most harsh ones to respond to the particular situation. And that is very difficult both for the justice and certainly for juveniles who may have a chance of turning on a different road.
Well, let me get some comments, Roberta, to your
That hasn't been our experience in our county.
It has not been.
No, we have maintained our mental health court, which I oversee, which started under Judge Foyles' administration when he was presiding judge last time, and in which Mr. Wagstaff commendably comes most Fridays to. We've kept our Bridges Drug and Alcohol Treatment Program active. We have a veterans court that Judge Grantzert started last year.
Which is just essentially the newest program.
Exactly. So we have a lot of commitment. Our judges are committed to keeping those courts responsive to the needs of our citizens.
You said mental health. There was no mention of juvenile justice, which is a whole different.
Well,
you know.
I'm not a juvenile judge, so I can't speak to
but
what goes on
what
up there.
But that's what I'm addressing.
Let me get some other comments. Roberta, if you'll turn your radio back up, thank you very much for
Thanks.
Your comments. Anyone, Steve, you want to talk about this?
Yes, I want to respond exactly to Roberta's question, and that is, in just as Judge Forkum described in the adult court, our juvenile justice has not been cut. The courts have made the effort to keep that going because they know how important that is. And so when the cuts have had to be made, the judges have to make these very difficult calls. They've recognized what Roberta has said. And in San Mateo County, we are still providing all of those services in those arenas. And
I think she's concerned, though, for many, many courts in many counties throughout the state that that's not the case.
I can't speak to that. And all I can say is in San Mateo County, that's not the
Pat,
case.
Pat, do you have any knowledge about this at all?
Well, I know one of the 10 courthouses that is being shut in Los Angeles County is the Juvenile Justice Center.
Is it really? Is that the only courthouse that has juvenile justice in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, there are other courthouses that have it.
So when they talk about 10 courthouses being closed, that means in each one of those courthouses, I assume, there are several courtrooms. Is that true?
That's generally correct.
Wow. That's pretty severe.
A sad thing in Los Angeles is there are judges.
By that.
I'm sorry.
Also, Superior Court in Los Angeles County has come up with a fairly evolved program of trying to make the most of the limited assets they have by consolidating, for example, unlawful detainer courts in only four of the county's courthouses and small claims in certain of the courthouses, and all of the personal injury cases are being centered into three master calendar departments in downtown Los Angeles. The net effect of all of this can be encapsulated in one word, and that's delay. Delay is the common denominator to what all of these changes are going to make. You know, it's interesting. We were talking about having to drive 2 hours in San Bernardino. There's a Catalina Island courthouse that's being closed. For anyone who needs to get to a courthouse from Catalina Island now, they have to pay the $50 to get on a boat, go to Long Beach, and then pay the money to go back to Catalina. That's the type of hardship that's being placed upon our citizens, and Fresno is one of the worst with two-hour drives just to get a court hearing. So it's being characterized by inconvenience and delay. Here's the question, though, that everyone should ask themselves. At what point will it happen that self-help starts to take over, particularly in the domestic departments? At what point will the delay give rise to civil violence?
Mm-hmm.
And that is of serious concern to me, and it should be to all of your listeners.
Mm-hmm. Any comments from the judges or Mr. Wagstaff here? Okay. I know, Pat, you have another commitment to make and have about, 45 seconds left with us?
Absolutely.
Do you want to take half a minute and kind of sum up before you have to leave?
Yes. I would first like to thank you, Chuck, for letting me be on the panel. It was a
a real pleasure to be on it with the other judges tonight, Steve and Bob and Mark. Thank you for letting me join you. My message is very clear and very simple on this. It's not diluted. The public has to understand the nature of the risks that it's taking in the cuts that have happened to our judicial system, the delay it's going to cause, and the potential for civil violence that it brings about. And the best thing the average citizen can do is to prevail upon their legislators to take a second look at what they are doing in terms of allocating budgetary dollars as among the various calls that are made for that money, be it prisons or police departments, fire protection, whatever it is. But when doing that, they have to bear in mind that the legal system is at the center of everything that makes our community run. One of the comments that John Kenneth Galbraith made when asked about developing businesses in emerging nations was what did he look for in making the decision whether to recommend a particular emerging nation to develop business in? The answer was a functioning justice system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have a justice system that can bring relief with relative speed to people who need it, who are residents of the state, be they businesses or individuals, it's just going to make our already recessionary economy worse. But more than that, it's going to drive people to take actions that they might otherwise not wish to take in terms of self-help. And so I believe that, frankly, the crisis in the funding of the justice system is the most serious problem facing our community today.
Pat, I hope in a few months that if there has been some progress or hasn't been some progress in this very serious, with respect to this very serious problem, that you will come back and we'll discuss it and perhaps some of the other things that you are involved with the State Bar of California. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate your being with us.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's do this. We have Ruth in. You know, it's interesting. There have been no men calling in. She's gone too. All right. If any of you have a question, a comment, or whatever, would like to pose it to my guests, please do so. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you've come in late and you wonder what in the world is going on here, this is Your Legal Rights. We're talking about funding cuts of the California cut. Okay, somebody's back. All right. Ruth Ann, we're glad you came back. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you very, very much for doing the show. I really appreciate it.
All right, but let's hear what you want to say.
What I wanted to say was, in my limited experience, I had in the past used the small claims court system, and there were small claims advisors.
Oh, yes, of course.
My county and in San Francisco.
Your county is which?
Came up in my, I'm in Contra Costa.
Okay.
Something came up in my life, and I forget what it was, a couple months ago. I wanted to pursue small claims, and both of those positions have been cut.
So there's no more a small claims advisor in Contra Costa County?
Or San Francisco.
Wow. I was not aware of that,
no,
because
that's
very valuable.
And it made it so easy for me to access the system and use it and not, you know, have to find a lawyer or anything else like that, and it was a wonderful way to make use of the court system.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to have somebody who, if you know nothing about the law and you want to file a claim in small claims court, to have someone who usually has been, at least historically, an attorney who part-time does the job of small claims advisor. Mark, I don't know if you've had anything to do with this, but I know that we had a very capable guy, attorney, being our small claims advisor in San Mateo County. I hope we still have him.
Judge Foyles could probably address that.
Do we know this, Judge Foyles? Is he still with us?
I believe so.
Oh,
I believe so. But,
I'm glad to hear that.
But Ruth Ann's making a great point. Those are the kinds of areas where you're seeing throughout the state cuts being made. The cuts to our self-help center, I think Pat was talking about that too, have been devastating. In 2007, 2008, we had a fully staffed self-help center. We were running classes. We were basically demonstrating to ProPERS how to proceed on their cases. ProPERS are self-represented litigants. And we've reduced by 50% our ability to help self-represented litigants.
I can. Were incredibly helpful in both counties.
And so, and those are the areas without appropriate funding. You start cutting in those areas because it's not statutory mandated, mm-hmm. and it's something where, when you got to make the cuts, it starts to make some sense.
Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, the extreme point, please. San Joaquin County doesn't hear small claims cases at all for the moment.
When did they stop?
Probably about 6 months ago.
Okay.
And court executives say basically you can file the case, but they're put in a box.
That's wonderful.
We just don't have
just
the resources
put in the box.
To do that.
That's terrible. So Ruthann, thank you very much for calling. I just want to make mention of something that fortunately still exists. The San Mateo County Law Library has noontime lectures every month. And for those of you who may be excited enough to think you can start a business in this climate, although things are improving, there is a session tomorrow at the San Mateo County Law Library, which is on, what is that street, Steve, right in front of our courthouse?
Marshall,
on Marshall Street, right across the street from the Hall of Justice is the County Law Library. And the topic is starting a business, what you need to know. And a couple of attorneys who are knowledgeable about this, Ruben Nokos and Najib Kudaya, will be there at noon. You can bring your bag lunch, and there's no charge. This is a great service that the Law Library provides. If you'd like some more information about it, again, that's tomorrow, Thursday, February 14th. Please call this number and speak to someone there, not right now, but obviously tomorrow, well before noon, if you want to get more information, 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913, and that is tomorrow, Thursday, February 14th at noon at the Law Library across the street from the Hall of Justice. And I think you'll find it very worthwhile. All right, do we have anyone else? We do have Susie. Susie, welcome. You may be our last caller. Oh, pardon me. Judge Forkham, you wanted to say something, did you?
No, I'm done.
Okay, all right. Susie, welcome to your legal rights.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, great. I was just thinking about all of these cuts, and historically, and I'm sorry for anybody losing their job, but I can remember going back 25 or 30 years ago, where I used to go in and do minutes for some of the court meetings because they didn't have people on staff that wanted to do them, and I was working through an agency. But when I was going to the County of Alameda to do these minutes, I remember asking someone to proofread them.
When you say the minutes, you were not a court reporter. You were taking the minutes of what was going on in the courtroom. Is that right?
I was a stenographer, but in the courtroom, it was different meetings.
I see. Okay.
Police enforcement and a group of judges that would meet, bi-monthly, things like that, because I was a stenographer. But I can remember, sitting in more of the community area with the other workers and noticing that they weren't really doing too much work. And I thought, gee, I can't complain because I won't have a paycheck from this agency if I complain. Mm-hmm. Or if I, make note that they're not really doing much work. So, I don't want to, I'm just thinking with the budget and the jobs people have had, have all of the people really been working hard? Because my observation at times were, and not just for the courts, but when I'd go to work on temporary jobs, I think if people really...
Susie...
If they really work hard, they wouldn't need anybody else to come in.
Well, thank you for your comments. One of the things... Thanks. Turn your radio back up so you can get some comments on this. One of the things that Judge Foyles mentioned was that our clerk's office has something like 30,000 cases that have not yet been put into files, whereas going back a few years ago, everything was up to date. So obviously there is evidence there in terms of all of these files. Mr. Wagstaff, please.
I want to respond to what Susie had to say because I was in the system 36 years ago, prior to the time she's mentioning. And there's been an unbelievable change in the workload that our judiciary has had to pick up in that meantime. It has gone up astronomically. I'll just talk about criminal prosecutions. They've gone up at least three times what they were 30 years ago. We don't have three times the judges, three times the clerks. We actually have less now with the clerk's office. And it's affecting the quality of work. We notice it regularly that with the clerks, under the pressure they are, the inaccuracies that are occurring is on the increase. And that's a pressure you do. And that's not good for the community. That's not what we need to have in any segments of our judiciary.
When you look just at our county, 31% reductions, 120 fewer people work for the court than they did 4 years ago. And then you realize that for as long as I can remember, we had six commissioners, and we will only have two to do the same amount of work. The work hasn't stopped. It's still coming in. It's now being done with five fewer commissioners.
And it seems to me with what's going on now that there's going to probably be even more work to do, since we don't have alternative dispute resolution throughout the state on a regular basis, and it's been cut to some degree in San Mateo County. This is going to be serious.
This is the concern.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, I think somebody mentioned the dismantling of a court.
Yeah.
It's taken decades to make our court work well. We were always recognized as a strong and good court throughout the state, and it's a shame now to see courts basically be shuttered, employees laid off, and then commissioners who do the work of judges as subordinate judicial officers being laid off that have worked with the courts for so many years to be sure that, that we're able to provide access to justice. And
well,
we can say we won't be able to provide access to justice to everyone in the next few years if this continues.
If you are listening, obviously you're listening to the program if you hear me. If this is of concern to you, certainly all of my guests have said you should make the effort to contact your local legislator and let the legislator know that you are concerned about this and you'd like the legislator to get involved in trying to do something to restore the funds to the courts.
And they could also contact the Judicial Council.
Sure.
That would be an area that, you know, if that group heard directly from people what their concerns are with respect to the how all this is impacting the trial courts and the citizens we serve at that level, I think that would be helpful.
Can
as
they
well.
Just Google Judicial Council? Will that California Judicial Council? Will that come up?
Okay. Or California Administrative Office of the Courts? Either one, you can find it easily.
Yeah, California Administrative Office of the Courts, and I think you can also find it that there is a self-help segment website actually that I have promoted over the years. www.courtinfo.ca.gov/self-help. But if you care, please follow through on this. I want to thank you very much for joining us. It's been very nice to have
you
here.
Mr. Kelly left a little earlier.
President of the State Bar of California, Robert Foyle, presiding judge of the Superior Court of San Mateo County, Judge Mark Forkum, former presiding judge of the Superior Court of San Mateo County, and my boss, Stephen Wagstaff, district attorney of San Mateo County. Thank you very much for joining us. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. Additional funding is provided by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, we're going to be talking about an update of workers' compensation laws and issues. My guests will be Alice O'Sullivan, Gil Stein, and Michael Rucka, members of the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and their specialists in workers' compensation laws certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Chuck Finney.